on a series about we need to move, right? And I've been asking you every week, how many of you know that we need a move of God? Amen. Amen? We need a move of God. And the reason we need a move of God, and actually that's going to be in future weeks, but just quickly, one sentence on that. We need a move of God because we need to be redirected to what a servant of God looks like and what it's supposed to be and what passion and desire, what it used to be in the book of Acts, or just reminded, and people need set free and delivered and bondages need to be broken, salvations. We need a move of God because we need God to do a lot of things in our families, in our community, in our lives. There's strongholds that need to be broken. There's generational curses that need to be broken. There's just so many things that we just need a move of God. And in this country, the enemy's trying to tear us apart. Right? I don't want to get political, but impeachment and all that stuff, it's not good, right? Whether you are on one side or the other, these things, they hurt. They disunity, right? It hurts. And the enemy is trying to attack. And it's not a right or who's right or who's wrong. It's more of a rebellion against order and what God has put in place. And we need to start to recognize that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And creating disunity is one of his most effective weapons against not just the nation, but a church, a family, and even a marriage. Creating disunity is what he does. And God is a God of unity. And there's a scripture that says, be diligent in being the peacemaker. Be diligent in always trying to bring things into unity. And we need a move of God because the enemy is moving to disunite at all levels. And I really feel that God's going to use our giftings in the Spirit to bring his move, a revival that's going to bring us back to who God is and that we need him and we're dependent upon him. I believe that, and that's where all this is coming from, these lessons about we need a move. We talked about the history of some revivals. Second part, we talked about repentance. And the third part, we talked about a desire for righteousness in our lives and in the world. And I have warned you along the way that when you begin to have a desire for righteousness or to repent, you got to be ready. You got to have that repentant heart because God will reveal some things to you that you weren't ready for and you need to repent from. Amen? Amen. And you need to be humble enough to be able to hear the voice of God and change what you're doing. Change it. It may not seem bad, but God doesn't want you doing that for whatever reason, and you need to change it. Maybe it just takes your attention away from him. Maybe this thing takes your time and sucks your time, and you need to be spending more time with God. Whatever it may be, it may not seem like an awful sin, but are you ready to hear from God to tell you you need to change this in your life? Because for you, it's sin, because it's disobedience, right? I'm not talking about, you know, killing and the Ten Commandments, and those are obviously sins. I'm talking about things that you are not even aware that it's keeping you from the Lord, from the path, from his righteousness. And that's digging really deep. But when God begins to move, these things begin to be revealed, right? And sometimes you don't even know why you're feeling frustrated or why you're feeling not at peace. And it's because we won't let go of some things. We won't let go of some things because we think we have a right, or we think it's not bad. But God has given us a purpose and a destiny, and he wants us to fulfill that. And part of the series that we've been on, I've talked about how in history in the United States we've had revivals, And I really believe we need to get ready for what God's doing. We need to be ready. And so today is part four, is about utilizing your spiritual gifts. You know that God, the Bible says that all of you have at least one gift. There's nobody in here that has zero gifts. That's scriptural. Nobody in here has zero gifts. We all have spiritual gifts anointed by God. And I want to talk about that a little bit, and I want to kind of simplify things in my mind and share it with you, and so that this is how it's helped me to understand gifts versus callings versus talents and skills, and what, you know, how do you, I just want to quickly go through that and then read some scriptures about how the gifts work together for good. The gifts that you have, you're supposed to use them, right? Get ready, use your spiritual gifts, get them prepared, get them sharpened, right? That's what the message is. So the main point in your notes today, does everybody have their handout today? Raise them up. All right, very good. We got enough, good. If you need one, raise your hand and David will make sure that you have one. Anybody out there need one? All right. The main point today, we need a move of God. Make sure you are ready to use your spiritual gifts when God moves. We got to be ready to use them. We got to get ready to use them. Now, sometimes you got to be careful not to use them before your time, right? There's a timing in all this, but be ready in your heart. Be ready to be used by God. Be ready to be used by God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, for your message to come forth, for your anointing on these words. I pray above all that we leave this place today encouraged to use our spiritual gifts for your purposes, encouraged and strengthened that you've got a good plan. No matter what we're going through, you're good, and you're going to bring us from victory to victory to victory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Scriptures about using your gifts. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And so get your Bibles ready. You're ready to go, move, and I'm sure they'll be up on the projector here. So we're going to move through these. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You are created to do good things. Right? That's what it says. We are workmanship. We are created to be a work, to work for his kingdom and to do good things. When you're not doing that, you're off message, right? You're off purpose. When you're not doing or working in his kingdom to do good things in any way that you can use your giftings or your talents and skills, then you're off message or off purpose, because you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You are called to do certain things, to have certain abilities, to have certain gifts, and you are called to be in there. So there's no question about that. It's in Scripture. All of us are called to be doing work for his kingdom, right? You know, one time I did a lesson on ministry, right? And sometimes when you think of ministry, you think, oh, I'm not called to be a pastor, so I'm not going to be in ministry. But ministry doesn't mean being a pastor or this or that. Ministry means service. All of us are called to be in ministry and to be in service of his kingdom, right? So it's important that we don't exclude ourselves from God's plan. You're going to be used. You may be thinking, how am I going to be used? Somehow, some way, your gifts are going to be used by God if you use them for his kingdom purposes. And that, I want us all to be ready. The Bible is clear that we're called to do good works. In James chapter 1, verse 17, if we'll read that. James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our gifts come from above. Every good gift comes from above. That's pretty self-explanatory. All good comes from Jesus, from above, from God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 10 and 11. The word of God says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. So what that is saying, that every man has received a gift, and you're supposed to use that gift to serve, minister in this case means service, to serve one another. It can't be any more clear. I mean, the word of God just is pretty clear on this. Each one of us has been given gifts, and we are supposed to use them to make ourselves well-known and famous? No. We are supposed to use our gifts, which all of us have, to serve one another. That takes the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know about you, because when God's not, wasn't in my life, and even now we struggle with this, we can be real selfish, can't we? How many of you can be real selfish? The whole world has to revolve around you, or you get frustrated, right? No, nobody. Okay, just me. No. No, I saw some of you admit it. But the rest, 90% of you, sinners, right? Confess. We are supposed to use our gifts, and God's word is clear, to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, it is your duty to be a steward. You know what a steward is? It is your duty to be a good steward of your gifts. And being a good steward means that you're using them to serve one another, right? And that's the word of God about about these concepts. We're supposed to be used by God in our spiritual gifting. So I want to take a moment here and kind of go off track a little bit and talk about some things that help me understand gifts. I have it here in your notes. Make sense of spiritual gifts versus spiritual callings versus skills, ability, talent. And I want to kind of, I broke them down here a little bit so that we can kind of get a grasp of them. And the Bible talks about gifts, about callings, about talents. And spiritual callings, positions, when I read the scriptures, are these callings and positions are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? It's called the fivefold ministry, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are biblical spiritual callings that are in some of your lives, but not everybody, right? Remember, I said that everyone has a gift. I didn't say everyone has a spiritual position in this kind of calling. And God, in the church, a denomination, for example, like the Four Square denomination, has pastor positions, pastors that are teachers, pastors that are evangelists. They're licensed ministers that are, let me say it this way. There's licensed ministers that are pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, like my district supervisor would be more of that role, and then prophets. Now, that one people kind of shy away from a little bit in denominations. Like, you are a licensed minister, you're a prophet, right? And it doesn't really matter what men do. If God has called you to be a prophet, it doesn't matter if a denomination blesses it or not, right? It's God's calling on people's lives. And the thing about prophets is people kind of shy away from them because they come forth and speak, and then, oh, if it didn't come to pass, they must be of the devil or must be, and there's a lot of that, and people are really shy away from. One thing about using your gifts, you learn as you go. Nobody's perfect. A pastor doesn't become a pastor in a calling and just know exactly what to do in every circumstance. You get room to grow. It's the same thing with all of your callings and your giftings. You gotta begin to use them and then learn what the voice of God sounds like. It's like anything. You gotta experience them. I've always told leaders, don't be afraid to make a mistake. You know, sometimes hey, okay, well, you know, maybe God had another plan or something. But that's what a spiritual calling is. And we're going to read the scriptures on this in a little bit. Now, spiritual gifts, these are the ones. You have at least one of these. Because the Bible said everyone has one. And if you read through the different scriptures, you put these together, there's a gift of faith. Right? You know that person when you're going through something, like, I got to call this person to pray for me. Because you know that person, when they pray, God hears them. Because they have a lot of faith. Right? Some people have this gift of just, I believe God's going to do anything. Let's pray. You want to be around those people. You want to be around those people. You want to be friends with those people. You know when they pray, things begin to move because their faith is a gift. And we all have a measure of faith, the Bible says, right? The Bible says we all have a measure of faith. Amen. Right? Help, service. The Bible specifically talks about the gift of helps and being a helper. And this gift, this is what I love about God. If you have a gift of helps, where you're just like always able to help whatever. You know, you have people that just whatever you need, they're there. They never, you know, they're rare, yes, but they're there. If I called, I need people here at 3 o'clock to work on the toilet, most of you would not come, right? That's the truth, right? But some will, because they have this inert gift that it just kind of kicks in, right? And like, I need a help. Maybe you don't know anything about fixing a toilet, but you're still going to show up to help. You see what I'm saying? So there are people who have these giftings in a measure that. But what I was going to say is that when we get to heaven, say you have a gift of prophecy and versus someone who has a gift of health. If the person with the gift of prophecy doesn't use it appropriately, right? That can happen. People have a free will choice. But the person with the gift of helps did it with all their heart and passion. You know, when you get to heaven, you know who's going to be glorified? You know, the one that was faithful in their gifting. And the one who wasn't as faithful, even though the prophet got a lot more recognition here on earth, wow, you know, they're. When you get to heaven, it doesn't work that way. Position doesn't matter. It's all about your heart and how you dedicated yourself to what God has given you. And so the first shall be last and the last shall be first, right? And that's the way God works. So everybody, faith helps, gift of healing, that's self-explanatory, gift of knowledge, gift of miracles, gift of prophecy, gift of giving, the gift of just faithful giver, tongues. The Bible is very clear about the gift of tongues and about the gift of interpretation of tongues. The Bible is clear about gift of wisdom, gift of mercy, gift of exhortation. You know what exhortation is? Encourager, right? Encouraging people. Encouraging, exhorting, giving people encouragement. You know that person that you can talk to and every time you talk to you just feel encouraged? They may have a gift of that. And when you use it for his kingdom, it is a powerful, powerful thing. Administration. People are called to, they can administer. Leaders that can administer. There are just people who can put a program together and lead it and make it happen. And there are some people you don't want them touching with a 10-foot pole, administration. It's just the way life is, right? Some of us have gifts like that. Some of us don't. And then I didn't write the last one down. I wrote it with my if you have a pen or pencil, after administration and discernment, I forgot discernment. There's a gift of discernment where you're able to discern. That's not of God right there. What I see right there, that's not of God. And you're able to discern spiritual darkness versus spiritual light. And it's just something that comes natural to you in a sense. But it's a gift. It's a gift. So you've been given one of these gifts. You need to figure out what it is. You need to pray about it. You need to. What giftings do I have? Right? They are what they are. God says he's given it to us. And because you have a gift doesn't mean you're using it appropriately. right? It's like anything in life. You know, you can have something, but if you're not taking care of it, it's going to collapse, right? You may have a gift of discernment where you're like, I can tell if that's right or wrong. But if you're not living for God, you're going to use that gift in a weird way. Think about it. But when you begin to put your life right with God and you're able to discern, you're able to help the kingdom of God, help people. When you begin to use these gifts outside of God's anointing and outside of God's purpose for you, you can get into pretty in trouble, right? You can get into trouble. Skills and talents. Now, don't confuse any giftings or callings with skills and talents. Some people have musical ability. Some people have the ability to get on a computer and they understand it and it makes sense to them, right? Some people have the ability to play sports. That's skills, talents. Some people have the ability to art or dance, just different kinds of abilities and skills. And those, you can even have a skill to speak. You know, you can have a skill to speak and not be called to be a pastor, right? They're not necessarily always the same. I like to use Francis Chan as an example because he said it himself, and I just quote him. He has the skill and talent to speak. He's a pastor or evangelist, but he could stop being a pastor and evangelist and go motivational speaking outside of God and make millions of dollars. Because he just has the skill to speak and motivate. But fortunately for us in the God's community and in the kingdom of God, he's saved and he uses his gift and talent for God in his kingdom, and he does encourage and he does exhort and does a good job using his gifts, his talents, his calling, because he's a pastor as well for the kingdom of God. So you see how they can be separate and how they all can work together. But here's the thing about all these things, whether you're have a spiritual position, a calling, like the fivefold ministry, and all of us have a gift, and the Bible also says we have talents, skills. You're supposed to use them for his kingdom. And when God begins to move, we want to be in position to use our callings, our gifts, our skills, and talents for his kingdom. Amen. Amen? I hope you can put yourself in here. You've got these somewhere. So they're in you. I hope you can see that. And I pray that you start preparing like a soldier begins to prepare for battle, or like a racer begins to get themselves in shape. Begin to get yourself prepared. And that goes back to the basics. Keep it simple. You know, read your Bible, pray, more of God in your life. Listen to music, Christian music. Just continue to be in church. Continue to be where God is. Continue to put yourself in positions to be impacted by his presence. Just continue to do that over and over and be ready to be used. It's more of a mindset than, I got to get out of here and start using them tomorrow. You know, that's not what this is. It's about a mindset, getting ready, sharpen your tools, sharpen your gifts to be ready to use by God. So let's go to the scriptures that puts all this together. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through 11, let's read that. 1 Corinthians 12, we've all read this, but it's good to read it again because this topic is very important in the church, very important in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Let me read it. Now concerning what? What have we been talking about? Oh, we're on topic. Good, good, good. Concerning spiritual gifts. The Bible can't be any clearer, right? Like concerning spiritual gifts. Amen. I would not have you to be ignorant. Paul says, don't be ignorant. This is very important. It's important that you understand spiritual gifts. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts. What does diversity mean? There are many types of gifts. Many types of gifts. We went through some of them here. There are diversities of gifts, but all these gifts operate under the same Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? It's beautiful. It's like a wonderful orchestra. All the different pieces playing, but it comes out and it's like, ta-da, it's beautiful music, right? These gifts are diverse, but they're all under the anointing and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are differences of administration. How you use your gifts can be different. How you administer the same gift. Two people can have the same gift and they administer them differently. Isn't that interesting? But that's God. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Why are these given? For man to profit, so that we can grow together. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So here are some of the gifts that we were talking about that I listed here. For to one is given the Spirit of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So you get the idea that these spiritual gifts are all one under God. And it is clear in here what some of them are here. Let me add to this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Are you with me? All right, good. This is good. This is deep, right? We're not drinking milk today. This is down deep in our hearts. We all got to understand. We got gifts. The word is clear about it. We got to get ready to use them. And therefore, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Always endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. So no matter what your calling is, we're still under one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and you in all. So you get the idea that the Bible is really emphasizing here that we're all under one. One. One God. Even though we may have different gifts, different ways of doing things, different ways to think, different ways to administer, different ways to operate, yes, but we're all under the unity of this concept that all of this is under God. Amen? Amen? So that's clear what the picture is being painted here. But unto every one of us, given grace according to the measure of gifts of the gifts of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon the high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And these are the spiritual callings, the fivefold ministry. Some of you are called to be one of these. And why? It even tells you why that fivefold ministry was put there. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The reason we have pastors and leaders and teachers and evangelists is for the perfecting of the saints, so that we can be in one accord. We can be in unity. Till we all come in the unity, right, verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So these are the fivefold ministry callings that God has put in place to operate until Jesus returns. Amen? Amen? This is the system he's put in place. Right? And that's why the enemy does his best to bring disunity to the church by bringing down pastors, attacking pastors. Pastors are human beings, right? They make mistakes, they can sin. But when they sin, the Bible provides an avenue to deal with that, right? And one thing I like to remind the church is when a pastor sins, it's not your opinion. It's a fact. Sometimes you may say the pastor sins because he didn't shake my hand after church. No, that's not a fact. That's just your opinion. But a pastor was in adultery, or pastor flat out is lying about what he's doing, and it's proven, and it's a fact, then there's a way to deal with that in the Word of God. Amen? That's important. And that goes for evangelists and prophets or apostles and so forth. But just remember, your opinion is not always a fact. What you think is sin on somebody is not always what it seems, right? You need to be careful with that, because a lot of churches are divided because someone's opinion about a pastor and not a fact. In their mind, it's a fact, but that's where you always have to be. You always should have an open heart to be bringing unity and give the benefit of the doubt to leaders. That's how the enemy works. But in verse 13, God put this in place, the fivefold ministry, for unity in the faith. Right? Jesus has called some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then the gifts are different than these fivefold ministry. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. The service of love to all. For I say, through the grace given unto me, this is Paul speaking to the Romans, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. Amen? And that's one of the gifts. So I'm leaning towards everyone has the gift of faith. How big it is, how strong it is, I think that's just you working that out. But according to Scripture, everyone has a measure of faith. And according to Scripture, faith is a gift. For as we have many members not in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same purpose, that office can also be used as purpose. We don't all have the same purpose. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. You get this feeling again in the reading this, that God is emphasizing that we're all one. No matter what your diversities are, we're all one under Christ. So we, verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So that ends that part. We're all one in Christ. We are different members, the toe, the finger, and there's not one member more important than the other. That's also clear in Scripture. So it's clear that we're one under Christ. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. If you have a gift of prophecy, prophesy according to the proportion of faith. But like I said earlier, just because you have a gift of prophecy doesn't mean you're in tune with God. Amen? Amen. Right? He's made given you a gift. So the number one thing is to make sure you have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. And then your gifts on top of that will manifest with an anointing. Amen. That's the most important thing. So, verse 7, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Oh, so if you have the gift of ministry, which is service in this case, or helps, right? If you have a gift of ministering or helping, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting or exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. Administration, that's what it ruleth, is like administration. The leaders do it with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So here we have plenty of scripture backing up the spiritual gifts, that we are one body in Christ, and we have not one office or function. Some are called into spiritual positions like pastor, evangelist, etc. Others may be called into positions, but may not be called into a position, but are called to use their spiritual gifts. You know, I've always thought, people have always gotten the gift of knowledge, and this is just a side note, the gift of knowledge and the gift of prophecy. Some people have gotten those two. It's hard. It's hard. What's the difference? Have I got a prophetic word of something that's coming or something that's true? And knowledge is some similar, right? Similar. And I was trying to kind of see how I could put this where it's easy to explain. And I found this, where the word of knowledge, the gift of knowledge from God, reveals an answer or a diagnosis of a symptom. And I thought that was interesting, and I'm just kind of throwing that out here maybe to help somebody. But when you have a gift of knowledge, you may have a gift of knowledge that reveals that I diagnose that the reason that's happening is because you got to remove that darkness from your life. Right? Like knowledge that you just, it's just from God. I see this. You need to work that out. You need to fix that. And that's knowledge. Prophetic word is speaking on behalf of God. Speaking on behalf of God. It's a prophetic word. So let's end with this last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3-9. Now, I wanted to take time to go through this. It's a little teachy, I know. But I really wanted to take some time because it's so important that we have a real good foundation. We have a real good foundation of what God is building in us. Repentant heart, a passion for righteousness, and a desire and a passion to use our gifts, our callings, our talents, our skills for His kingdom. When you wrap those three things up together and you become that person, the sky's the limit on how God's going to use you in a powerful, powerful, anointed way. And that's what this is under that umbrella. God is preparing us for His move, for a move of God, for revival. And we need to get a real solid foundation on how we're going to be used. And this is it. First, you need to repent, a repentant heart. We need to be seeking righteousness. And then we need to have a desire and a passion to use our giftings, our calling, our talents and skills for God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39, now, Paul knew that when he was teaching this, he knew this could get out of hand. As a matter of fact, he was getting reports from the church. This of gifting, spiritual gift, is just out of control. People are just interrupting each other in church, and I got this gift, so I'm going to use it. And it got a little bit out of hand. And Paul came in and said these two scriptures in verse 39 and 40 of 1 Corinthians 14 to lay it all down. He says, wherefore, brethren, yes, covet prophecy, and forbid not to speak in tongues. I mean, that's because that was getting out of control in a sense. But he says, let all things be done decently and in order. Very important. Very important. As you use your gifts, make sure they're done in order. Decent. Always thinking of other people. Right? You know, sometimes when God begins to move, we don't know how to handle that emotion. Sometimes you're just like, whoa, right? That's okay. I mean, but always be thinking about how it impacts other people. Because the last thing you want to do is to use your gift, and instead of God being glorified, everybody focusing on you. Amen? So that takes spiritual maturity to be able to, I don't want everybody focusing on me. I want to make sure everybody's focusing on the one. And so I'm so glad that this verse is here for the Pentecostal movement when the revival began in the 1900s and the power of the Holy Spirit and Pentecostalism came into the United States. That needed to be figured out in order, in decency. And I believe that the Pentecostal church, for the most part, has understood that. It can be out of order. But that doesn't mean, what did Paul say? Don't hide prophecy. Don't hide the tongues. Don't hide any of this, but just do it in order. So I want to encourage, maybe you think like, I want to use my gifts, but I have a gift of tongues, or I have a gift of interpretation, or how do I use? Well, do it decently and in order, working with your pastor, right? Working, doing things in order. And I think that's so important, and it takes maturity to understand that. So in closing, I want to pray, and I want to encourage you to go find, maybe write it down in your notes there. Or what are your gifts? What are your gifts? You have to have at least one, because if not, God's a liar, and we all know God's not a liar. You have one. So your job is to identify them and to nourish them, get them ready in prayer, in fasting. Get them ready. Get them ready to be used for the kingdom of God. Because we need a move. And it takes people that understand these principles of a repentant heart, desire for righteousness, and a utilizing of your gifts. And that's the title of this one, this sermon today, Utilizing Spiritual Gifts. You have to be ready to use them. You know that the power of God operates through these gifts. The power of God operates through these gifts. If we don't use them, we're not going to maximize the power of God in our lives. So let me give you some advice as you analyze your heart on using your spiritual gifts and your talents and skills for the Lord. Keep it simple. I'm not going to say the last one. You know, keep it simple, silly. That's very creative. I like that, Rose. Keep it simple, silly. That's a clean way of saying it. Keep it simple. Always be in prayer and reading of your word, of God's word. And ask every day, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. Even your pastor can't guide you into all truth. Right? I can just guide you to the truth. But I don't have all the answers, right? But I know this. His Spirit is more than able to reveal the answers to you. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit will make it clear to you and give you the passion to use your gifts. That's exciting, church. God is smart. He put all this in place for us. Let's all stand, and we're just going to close in prayer. But I'm excited because we have a group of people, I believe, in this place that get it, that you're not perfect, but you have a passion and a desire, and maybe your life is really, really, really busy, and maybe things aren't just right now clicking the way they should for you with God, or you feel like you're not utilizing the way. Just take a deep breath and be at peace. And be at peace. God's got this. The one thing you never want to be too busy for and too stressed for is being in prayer and reading your Bible. If you find yourself too busy for that, let me just tell you now, you need to undo that. And you need to never be too busy to read your Bible and pray. Even if you have to give something else up, that you don't give up. A daily relationship with God. And keep it simple. Heavenly Father, we're your people. And you made it clear in your word that you've given us various gifts. And you made it clear in your word that we are all one. And the diversity of these gifts, all are under one God, the creator of all. And Lord, as we leave this place today, we leave encouraged with a wisdom and an understanding that you got this, that you're going to use us mightily, that you're going to use us in a way that impacts the community around us. You're going to use us in a way that impacts the workplace around us. You're going to use us in a way that impacts our family. You're going to use us in a way that a church can impact the community. Lord, we are your people. We humbly accept and want to be about your business. Use us. You've gifted us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a clap.